You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
Hello? Who is this? I don't know any darkness.
And Daryl.
Look, I think you've got the wrong demon hunter. Yeah. Yeah, goodbye.
Good evening and welcome to episode 193 of The Training Dummies, recorded on January 9th, 2018. My name is Rob, and I am super excited to do this. And not because it's the last of the Stay Classy series, but it's the class that I've been maining. So I'm super, super hyped about this. Daryl, what about you? What are you feeling? What are you thinking?
I'm thinking you did a good job of catching the year in the show notes, because I was reading along and I saw this at 2017 and... you didn't skip a beat. I'm impressed. I'm impressed.
I know, man. I'm doing it. I'm real. I'm here. Even at 10 o'clock at night, I'm on point.
Yeah, that was slick. All good.
Well, you heard it. We are doing our final installment of the Stay Classy series, and this tonight is going to be Demon Hunters. And I have I've done a little bit of homework. I've done a little bit of research. And as I said, I've been maining one this expansion. But my problem is that I just kind of cruise through everything, and I don't necessarily take the notes or deep dive into the story or get into the lore, which I do appreciate, but I'm just not the guy for that. I did track down a super cool guy who wrote an amazing article, which led me to reach out to him. So if we can get a warm Training Dummies welcome for Sinzer tonight. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to come and join us. I know that you've got a little one and you're raiding, so... this is kind of some of your time that you've come to hang out and talk shop with us.
Thanks. I really appreciate you guys bringing me on.
Very cool. What we'd like to do at the top of the show is just get to know you just a little bit. See a little bit of your background, a little bit of what you do in game, maybe your Blizzard history, your Warcraft history, and kind of what you're up to.
Well, I've been gaming for a while. When it comes to Blizzard, I started with World of Warcraft. But I didn't start until the Wrath of the Lich King expansion. But I've been playing ever since then, on and off. And then I raided in Lich King, and I just started raiding seriously again this expansion.
Was Demon Hunters kind of what brought you back to hardcore raiding?
I started off actually as a tank in my Alliance guild as a Demon Hunter. And I actually wound up liking the tank spec more than the DPS spec. But I eventually switched to DPS on another character, and somebody else took over as tank.
You know, I started off as the tanking on the Demon Hunter as well. And as much as I liked it, I felt like I'd been tanking for quite a few years, and I was kind of done with it. So I stepped into the DPS role, and kind of found my calling, I guess, there, because I have been absolutely loving the Demon Hunter DPS from that point on. Do you still do any tanking, or are you mainly just DPS now?
DPS for raids. I do keep my tank specs up if I need to, but yeah, like for Demon Hunter, I switch from time to time doing just like LFR or pug raids, but I do like tanking on it. I'm usually a DPS person, so I've never actually, this is the first expansion I actually tanked, you know, in normal or higher, but mm-hmm. I've always been DPS, so I was actually glad to switch back.
So you were talking a little bit before we started recording that you guys are doing pretty well with your progression. Are you DPSing on the Demon Hunter right now, or are you DPSing on something else?
No, I'm DPSing in an Alliance guild called Local Tourists as a Death Knight, which has always been my favorite class, and actually was the first class that I got to max level back mm-hmm. in Lich King.
Oh, nice.
And then I am DPSing on a warrior, arms warrior, on my Horde guild called Valet.
Well, that's the one that matters the most, don't because it's Horde, but we're not biased here. That's
not at all.
That's just the way it is, you know.
Yep.
What specs are you rating on in your DK?
Mostly Frost, but I have my Unholy up as well, and since I have Coldheart, it works pretty well for both specs.
I was Frosty K like pretty hardcore for a long time. That was like kind of where I fell in love with DPSing, and did that a lot of the way through Cataclysm, and then and I don't know, DK's gone through a lot of changes here and there, but I think Frost DK is still my favorite DK spec. It's just so fun. It hits really hard.
Yeah, especially this expansion. The Frost has gone through so many changes in like what the best talents were, and I actually didn't really like it that much about a patch or two ago when like Breath of Cindergrossa was
Man, maintaining that was like a crazy juggling act.
Yeah, but like Demon Hunter, I didn't like, because Demon Hunter changed a little bit too back when, you know, you had to do Vengeful Retreat, and Fail Rush like in your rotation. It just wasn't something that I liked. I've been playing it a lot more since then, and I've gotten some decent legendaries, and I like Demon Hunter DPS a lot more. I still like Death Knight the most, but I would probably say Demon Hunter is my second favorite DPS right now.
So my problem is that I didn't like the momentum Fel Rush kind of stuff very much, but when I swapped over to DPS was when that fell off. So I fell in right at the perfect time where like the prime build was the one that I actually really liked. It was a lot of just the Fel Blade and Chaos Strikes and that stuff, and it's been super fun. But now with the Antorus raid, all the new tier coming out of there is leaning us back towards a little more of an I-beam oriented build instead of the auto attack. So I'm really looking forward to that, but the only problem is you have to have your four piece in order to kind of make the jump over to that, and I just don't have my four piece yet.
Yeah, I definitely noticed that, because I done a few raids on my Demon Hunter, and I don't even have a two piece yet on it. And I tried the tier build with Demonic and all that, and it's definitely not worth it till you get the set, because I went back to the old talent setup and was doing a lot more damage.
So a bit of a spoiler alert, our next episode coming up is going to be with one of the guys from that does the Raid Bots website, and I was watching a Preach video the other day, and he was talking about simming and how he does it, and I had previously had been kind of using Simcraft and the Pawn add-on, and this video from Preach kind of inspired me to check out a different way of doing it, and I talked to Daryl, and we ended up reaching out to the Raid Bots guy, and he's going to come on next week. But what it did was it kind of allowed me to go in, and last night I went in and did, I probably ran, I don't even know, a dozen different sim options of different gear setups and different all sorts of stuff, and found out that even though I've got a bunch of 940 gear from Antorus and a bunch of the new stuff, it just kind of doesn't matter yet. I just still need to wear my old gear from Tomb of Sargeras until I get the four piece. So it's kind of a bummer, but I'll get there eventually. So
yeah, it's a lot better than Beastmaster Hunters needing Nighthold. I believe that's still the best.
Oh, geez. Wow, really? Yeah.
Like they recommend doing like Mythic Nighthold for the Zookeeper build, I think it's called.
Oh, forget that, man. Yeah, I have a really good on my Beastmaster, and I have the Shoulders, which I think is still a really good legendary, but it's, I don't know. I mainly do that stuff for fun, so I'm not committed to running old raids for best in slot gear. Daryl, you finally came around to the point where you admitted that your Warlock was your main, right?
Oh, that's like a couple of years now.
I don't know. I found some old screenshots of I was running those side by side comparisons of your tunes to see like what progression you had reached on which one when you were saying that it wasn't. So I'm just making sure.
All right.
What would you do, Daryl, if your lock wasn't your main? What would you do?
If my lock wasn't my main, what do you mean? What would I do?
Yeah. What would you play?
Oh, I'd probably go back to the Shaman Resto. I'd probably do that again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I had some big nostalgia feelings when we were talking in our guild Discord there. What was it, a month ago, about healing and all that? And it's like, yeah, I'd really like to do that again. So we'll see. Maybe I'll dust off the cobwebs.
Pink showed up and tore it up in her resto shaman, and then like just quick as she showed up, she vanished again. So I don't know what happened.
But you know, I used to really enjoy healing, you know, in raids and stuff. There's DPS is more like. You just DPS. There's no stress involved. Like, it's good stress when you're healing, but it's stressful, but it's a good stress. And I really enjoyed that type of stress. So yeah, one day, maybe I'll go back.
Well, let's get into the good stuff, man. We got we have this last class, Stay Classy story to wrap up, and we've got Sensor here to walk us through that, so I'm ready when you are.
This is Major Death from the small... I screwed it up. All right, trying it again. This is Major Death from my small corner of the Hearthstone Tavern, and you're listening to The Training Dummies with Rob and Daryl.
If you have any questions or comments or just want to find out what we're doing, we're active on Twitter at Training Dummies. Rob is at Rob Copeland, and myself, Daryl, is at Daryl underscore TTD.
Wait, what? What do you mean there's lore in this game? You guys actually paid someone to write a story about Raynor meeting Diablo?
We should swap stories sometime.
My story mirrors that of all orcs. A tale of savagery and redemption. Perhaps one day I shall tell it to you.
Clearly you haven't heard my story.
Oh, yes. I have many, many stories to tell. Would you like to hear one? $9.95 per minute.
Well, I'm super hyped to do this, and not because, like I said earlier, I'm not biased, but this is where I have landed, and I personally think this has been a wonderful story, this expansion. So, Sensor, why don't we talk about where Demon Hunter started off? Because they're brand new to World of Warcraft. Well, in terms of a playable race, they're brand new this expansion. So where does our story pick up? Because it's a little bit different than any of the other specs.
Yeah. Well, first, as a Demon Hunter, you know, you start off, it's a hero class, so you start off doing a tutorial, sort of like Death Knights did, where you start off in Mardoom, I believe, and it's right before the end of the Black Temple raid in Burning Crusade, and you're a Demon Hunter training with Illidan and the rest of his Demon Hunters, and like towards the end, you manage to escape, and you see Illidan, like right after the players beat Illidan, and then all the Demon Hunters get trapped or locked up in the Vault of the Warden. And then where you actually take place after that, when you're playing past the tutorial, is when they free you from it to fight the Legion.
So you start off at level 98, right? And then
start at level 98, and then you level up to 100 throughout the tutorial, ready to go into the Legion leveling experience.
So if you've ever played the DK starting zone, and it kind of like leads you through that whole story, and it kind of drip feeds you some talents and lets you kind of decide what you want to do from there, it's very, very similar to that, but it's like the Demon Hunter version of that, right?
Yeah.
I didn't even realize there was a time gap there. Like I played through my Demon Hunter. I did it once, and I got out of that area, but I didn't realize there was a time gap from, like, Black Temple time was your 98 to 100, and then after that, you're being freed to start the Legion expansion. I had no idea. I didn't pay that much attention. Like, see, that's why
because you're
so
frozen.
Good.
You end up getting, like trapped or frozen or imprisoned or whatever it is, kind of like Illidan was, and then you get broken out of that through that starting zone.
Okay. Yeah, it's been so long since I played it too. I might have realized it and just totally forgot too. That's an option. Possibility.
I would play through it again with you, but we say that about every class that we do this with.
Fair enough.
Okay, so you come through that. You kind of come through the intro starting zone, and it's super cool, but it's a little bit of the older content kind of leading into what happened at the Burning Crusade. So once you come out of that, I think what we've discovered now through 12 of these different Stay Classy episodes is that everybody kind of starts off at the same point. They meet up with Dadgar at Dalaran, and then he's kind of like telling you, hey, come over here, let's do some stuff. So where do we go from there?
Yeah, when you get to Dalaran, you know, the new move Dalaran, you'll get a messenger, just like pretty much every class, to come to Crassus Landing. And then the Demon Hunter, one thing that's forgot to mention, the very end of the tutorial, you choose somebody to side with, either Cain, Sunfury, or Altrius, the Sufferer. Mm-hmm. And who you choose will kind of change a little bit of the story slightly and the followers you get later on in Legion. But
so I didn't pay enough attention to that. I kind of felt like it was more flavor than anything, and I picked the one that sounded least like I was reading a Twilight novel. So, which, what kind of where, is there, was there really any, like, key points, or was it more just flavor?
It's not, I mean, it's not significant, really. It's more of people that, you know, just want to know more about the lore and the background. So, like, Kane Sunfury agrees with Illidan's views on fighting the Legion and basically just sacrificing whatever they can in order to succeed. And Altrius actually does not agree with Illidan's point of view and is actually one of the people that betrays him in the Black Temple.
I think most of the time, because I've done it like 3 or 4 times now, I think I always picked the one that was the Blood Elf because, you know, because Horde. But...
yeah, that was the one that I chose first. And that was the very first story I did. So I don't remember exactly the dialogue, but I did actually go through it again on my Horde Demon Hunter and actually chose Altrius, and I noticed a little bit of different dialogue. But I'll get to that later because it's in the story.
Awesome. Okay. So we kind of all pick up at the same place in Dalaran, and you kind of you pick which side you're going to be on, whether you kind of trust Illidan or you don't. So does it head to the class hall from there, or do you pick artifacts? Or
yeah, you pick artifacts, which is for Demon Hunters only 2: either the tank artifact, the Aldraki Warblades, or the Twin Blades of the Devourer, or Twin Blades of the Deceiver. But you'll talk to either Kane or Altrius, and then they'll ask you to pick one of them. I'll go over the DPS one first.
Yeah, go over both of them. Kind of walk us through kind of what it is and what the story is looks like.
So the Twin Blades of the Deceiver, which is the DPS, the Havoc Demon Hunter artifact weapon, he'll tell you to go to Violet Hold because there's a Eridar that knows about Veridus Failsoul, who is the current wielder of the Twin Blades of the Deceiver. And then once you get to Violet Hold, it's like a, you know, an instanced scenario. You fight the Eridar there, and then you find out that Veridus is actually in Suramar. So at this point, you go back to the Crassus Landing, take a flight from the Failbats, I believe, to Suramar for another scenario where you have to find Veridus. But after before that, you have to get rid of a barrier that's around and defeat the general that's there. And then once you do all that, you go and actually fight Veridus himself. And once you defeat him, then you get your artifact weapon. Now, the cool thing about the Twin Blades of the Deceiver is actually, it actually has some of Kil'jaeden's soul inside of it. Because Veridus Failsoul was one of the demon hunters, one of Illidan's like top demon hunters at Black Temple, and he tried to steal the Book of Failed Names, I think it was called.
Okay.
I think it's in the Illidan novel, but he tried to steal the Book of Failed Names, and he thought that he was able to take the power from it without actually taking the book from its location, and he found out that he was actually linking himself to the book. So when Illidan's enemies found the book, they were able to start destroying the book page by page, and every time they were doing that, it was weakening Veridus Failsoul. So by the time that he actually started fighting, he was killed.
So the Twin Blades, now are these the ones that Illidan has? Are these the ones that you're getting? Or are these new ones?
Yeah, they're Veridus's old weapon. Like, when he was, after he was killed, his soul, you know, went back to the Twisting Nether because it's, you know, technically a demon soul.
Right, okay.
And then Kil'jaeden resurrected him and managed to trick him into believing that his demon hunter allies actually betrayed him. And so he managed to turn him fully into a demon, and he actually infused Veridus directly with some of his soul, and then also changed his old warglaives into the Twin Blades of the Deceiver, which also had a part of his soul.
Yeah, because some of the artifact weapons seem to be like stuff that kind of was pre-existing or like big name weapons, you know. Mm-hmm. These like seem like it, you know, the Twin Blades of the Deceiver. but it seems like they're kind of like something that you should know about, but they were all also kind of like slotted in for the story.
Yeah, I think it was both this and the next weapon were sort of made for Legion, and it's also the character himself is was in the Illidan novel, I believe he was in there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was. I'd have to go back.
I read it before Legion came out, but I don't remember that.
I've slept since then.
Exactly.
Well, cool. Do you want to talk about the other one, then?
Yeah, the Vengeance, the tank one, is actually my favorite in terms of the story behind it. They're called the Aldraki Warblaze. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it or not, but...
Yeah, it sounds right.
You find out that... Well, the Aldraki Warblades, the history behind that is there was this group of people called the Aldraki, and they were just warrior group that, you know, they just lived on fighting. And they actually, the top champions had warblades, and these warblades were made out of this special crystal that were able to devour souls for anybody that it would kill. So the top Aldraki that had the artifact weapon, the Aldraki Warblades, was Torinar, I believe. And Sargeras found out about the Aldraki and went to send a bunch of people to invade, but he didn't want to destroy them because he liked their attitude, you know, the way they fought, so he thought they would be perfect for the Legion. A lot of Aldraki died, but Torinar and some other champions just would not be killed, so Sargeras himself actually showed up to try and convince Torinar to, you know, join the Legion, and he refused. They fought for a while. Torinar acted like he was going to give up, and then when Sargeras got close enough, he actually attacked him and left a wound on him, and then that's when Sargeras got really upset and just killed everybody, like instant. All the remaining Aldraki, including him, but left the Warblades intact and was able to, you know, take them out, and then ordered the Legion at that point to just burn the entire planet. So, after all that, he took the Aldraki Warblades back, and eventually there was another demon hunter called Kerry of Failsoul that turned traitor and then works for Kil'jaeden, and she was given those Warblades.
Now, here's my pro tip, and tell me if you agree, Sensor, with this. I say for the most part, definitely get the tank weapon first. Depending on how you're planning on leveling, the tank one seems slightly easier to get, and leveling as a tank, even if you're putting all your points into your DPS weapon, leveling as a tank was just way easier.
Yeah, I definitely noticed that the second time around, at least at the beginning, maybe a little bit later on, but definitely at the beginning, tank is much easier. The you know, you don't have to worry about being killed. I've noticed that a lot on early characters, especially if you don't have heirlooms, is survivability is kind of low as a DPS. But as a tank, especially a Vengeance tank, the Demon Hunter tank, they can do a lot of damage, actually, and still survive.
I would agree with you about basically every single class that I've done, and I guess that's all of them at this point. But yes, I would say a tank artifact is much easier to achieve and to level with than some of the DPS ones. I found especially with Demon Hunter, the DPS was oftentimes you were relying on the little soul fragments to help heal you back up, and if you pull too many mobs, you'd be in trouble. Whereas with the Vengeance, you could kind of just pull whatever you wanted and get away with it.
Yeah, Vengeance is fun, especially back when Suramar was like the main in-game content.
Uh-huh,
it was so fun just going into Suramar City and being a tank, and I didn't care. I just pulled everything.
Oh, yeah. Some of those world quests, especially where it was like, kill 20 of these guys, you're like, okay, and you just run through and like whatever aggro, it didn't matter, you know?
Yeah.
All right, so the artifact stars are pretty cool. I kind of like the fact that there's only two because... unlike some specs like druids, like you kind of have a lot less to worry about. You kind of only have the two specs and that's it, and you can kind of like, in terms of legendaries and kind of leveling up your off spec and stuff like that, it seems a lot easier to kind of like keep a handle on, would you say?
Yeah, it's it definitely gets you more focused, especially for somebody like me who plays like every class and tries to actually get them up to at least enough to do normal raiding, because I like to.
I don't have a lot of history, but I kind of fall into that camp where I've got every class and every spec leveled up with like two legendaries and try to keep them raid viable at all times. So I definitely understand what you're saying.
Yeah, and Legion especially has been hard because mostly when they added the Netherlight Crucible, because that just added so much, like you needed so much artifact power to get that.
Yeah.
I find that it's actually easier to have more than one of the same class than to try and, you know, level up multiple specs on
one. Oh, I never even thought of that, but you're right. Like, so if I had another warrior, it'd be easier to level like a Prot warrior than it would to like try and split artifact power between Prot, Fury, and Arms.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That sucks. Now that I'm thinking about it. I mean, I guess I don't even know. Maybe even in terms of legendaries, it'd be easier to have like just a completely different tune.
Yeah, so much of that's going to be changed. So I don't know how that's going to, you know, how things are going to be in the next expansion, because most of the stuff that they did will be changing.
Well, why don't you talk us through a little bit about the Order Hall and what that looks like and what the class campaign looks like there?
Yeah, so the Order Hall is the Failhammer. It's basically a Legion ship. After you choose your first artifact weapon, then you go back to Crass's Landing, you know, the flight path in Dalaran, and there's actually a little island a little bit below it that you can glide to as a demon hunter, because, you know, they didn't have flying at the beginning. Once you get there, there's a bunch of imprisoned demons, and they have you sacrifice them in order to power up the portal that they have there to get into the Failhammer, and then you have to use your artifact weapon to actually open the way after that.
Did you ever not make it over to the island? Did you ever screw up the little flight over there?
I think once. I think
like I know I did.
I think one time I tried gliding. I tried jumping. Like sometimes if you don't jump right, then you wind up dropping. So that's what happened to me. I was kind of too low while I was gliding and forgot that I was in tank spec. So I tried to go in Fail Rush and I didn't.
Yeah, the Fail Rush is totally different than the basically Heroic Leap for Demon Hunters. So yeah, I don't know how many times I've like kind of hit the wrong button and was like, oh, okay, I guess we're catching the if you don't make it, a bat will come by and scoop you up and take you back up. So
yeah, so the actual Order Hall, when you get in there, they tell you to, you know, they have a ceremony telling you to lead the troops, and then you pick your first area to quest in. So there's not much that happens at the very beginning, but once you get to 103 is when you actually start the first, you know, campaign, the main campaign story. At this point, they actually have they have reports of somebody named Lorimus. There was a Fail Lord or Fail Dreadlord. That's what I'm. Razalik, I believe. Lorimus Thelipides was a demon hunter that fought Razalik and sacrificed himself in order to kill him. But Razalik has come back, and they hear him calling himself Lorimus. So they're trying to, you know, figure out why this Dreadlord keeps calling himself Lorimus. So you go. I think it's a follower mission to bring him back. And once he gets back to the Order Hall, you have to go down and talk to him and find out that he actually, when Lorimus fought Razalik, he used this special blade to kill himself. Well, before that, he got possessed by Razalik. So he used his blade to kill himself, so he would actually kill the Dreadlord as well. But when he did that, both of their souls got intertwined and went back to the Twisting Nether.
And that's why he's like kind of losing his crap half the time. Like he's
sometimes
he's cool and sometimes he's yelling at you that he's gonna kill you.
Yeah, sometimes he'll, you know, just start yelling and then, but Lorimus is in control most of the time. But basically what happened was, you know, as a Dreadlord, he eventually was reborn, but Lorimus is still actually inside of him, so they kind of have like split personality, and that's why they have him locked up underground because they don't, you know, they don't want him to go free and start killing people.
Yeah, gotcha. So he's the guy that gives you your whatever class all grades you're gonna do.
Yep. After that, you just you have to start collecting materials to contact Illidan. Or Illidan's soul, because he's in the Twisting Nether since he was, you know, killed at Black Temple.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to collect like 100 Fail Blood or something, which was kind of annoying for me the first time through because I was trying to, you know, hurry up and level up. But
it
doesn't really take that long, though. I went to Farinar, I believe, in Azuna, like the first area that you start questing at in Azuna and collect.
Yeah, that's exactly where I did it. Where those little, they've got these little towers that like will kill guys that get too close. So I kept like just pulling everything back.
Yeah. So when you get enough blood, you go back and to the Failhammer, and then you contact Illidan, and he tells you that Akama is the only one. Look, Akama, for people that may not know, he was one of the people that betrayed Illidan mm-hmm. during the Black Temple assault, and he was like really close to Illidan. So Illidan told Akama all of his plans for taking on the Legion. So he tells you that if you want to take the Legion out, you're going to have to go find Akama, but you're going to need you're also going to need a Sargerite Keystone in order to actually invade the Legion worlds, because they won't be able to do that without it.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the very end, he tells you that you're not going to be able to contact him again, and tells you that you are now the official leader of the Illidari.
So that's one of the cool things that I felt like Demon Hunters got that none of the other classes got. You got this little moment where you got to kind of like FaceTime with Illidan, and you got to sit there and chat with him, and he's like, you know, you could tell he is in the middle of some drama when you're talking to him too, because there's like stuff going on and he's running around and he's freaking out, kind of like passes the reins over to you. And even though the other classes have some cool moments, this really stood out to me as something that like Illidan just passed the torch to you. And that's kind of a big deal with him being one of the main characters of this expansion, would you say?
Yeah. And Illidan's always been one of my favorite characters. Even when he was, you know, a villain. I played a little bit in Burning Crusade, but I didn't really, you know, start playing until Lich King. But I still remember, never forget, like I'm sure most people will never forget that, the trailer for Burning Crusade and just seeing it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was pretty cool having him actually, you know, talk to you. And, he does actually have another interaction with you in the tutorial. There's one part where you can choose to either sacrifice yourself or sacrifice another demon hunter. Mm-hmm. And if you sacrifice yourself, you die, but then your soul comes back and an Illidan contacts you and it's like, your soul is just like, you know, mine, like you have an immortal soul like mine or something like that. So I thought that was kind of cool too. And kind of explains how he's able to, you know, come back.
Yeah. He kind of gives you a little bit of a pep talk and tells you to get back at it. Yeah. That was the kind of the benefit of running that intro more than once, is that you got to see like these little dividing points, like you talked about, the, whether you sacrifice yourself or the other guy and which follower you chose and stuff like that.
Yeah. So after you, you know, basically become the leader of the Illidari, your next step is to find Akama. Once you find him, you find out that he's in the Black Temple, but he erected a holy barrier. So you have to find a way to take it down. So that's one of the quests, is you have to go to, I think it was Archmage Landalok in Dalaran, who owes, or I don't know if he owes her a favor, Matron Mother Malevolence, one of the people on the Failhammer. They have some history together, but basically they, you have to chase an imp around Dalaran, and he has this grimoire that you need. And once you finally catch him, you have to do a follower mission to scout out the Black Temple. So after all that's done, you actually go to do a scenario on the Black Temple, which I thought was also pretty cool to just, you know, come back to the Black Temple. And you see Akama there. You go and fight him. And then this is where, depending on who you chose at the beginning, will determine how this ends up. So basically, at the end of the Akama fight, if you chose Altrius, the guy that disagrees with Illidan, He convinces Akama to join you and come back to the class hall, and he becomes one of your actual followers. Mm-hmm. Now, if you didn't choose him and chose Kane, then they wind up taking the shade of Akama, which was one of the bosses in Burning Crusade, instead of Akama himself. So he will come back and be one of the followers.
So you basically kill Akama, and then you're like, no, we're taking your soul or whatever it is at that point.
Yeah, I don't remember, because again, that was the first one I did, so I don't know if you actually killed him or not, but I do know they separate the soul.
Yeah, I want to say like it's kind of jacked. Like if you, yeah, one, you actually convince Akama, the other, you're kind of like, no, you're coming with us dead or alive. So.
Yeah. So yeah, he comes back, and then your next step is all you have to do now is find the Sargeri Keystone, which is one of those, you know, series of follower missions. The wardens know where the Sargeri Keystone is, but they won't give it to you unless you help them out first. So they actually tell you to track down a bunch of powerful creatures that escaped the Vault of the Wardens. Now, these are follower missions, but I actually looked at the enemies, and they're actual enemies, like rares that you can find throughout the Broken Isles, like Fafnir, one of the like the corrupted dragon in Stormheim, and then Melok, son of Torok, in High Mountain. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that is cool.
When you do all of that, Caria, Veritas, you know, Felso, the two people that you get your artifact from, actually contact the Failhammer, telling you that they want you to join the Burning Legion. And then Veritas says that he helps you decline so he can kill you and retake, you know, his weapons back.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that's when, yeah, that's the end of that part of the campaign. And then the final part starts, you know, once you get to max level.
So is that after 7.3, or is there more?
No, it's still in the base campaign. Get to max level before you continue it.
Gosh, man, it's been like a year and a half at this point, right? So like,
I'm trying to get rid of all this stuff.
So at this point, you're still helping out the wardens, but you have to go and kill three enemies personally: High Mountain, Suramar, and Valshara. And then
is that like the darkness and?
Oh yeah, the lingering darkness in High Mountain. I forgot. Oh yeah, I can't remember. I can't remember the exact names for the other two. One of them is a Vykrul in Suramar, and I just cannot think of the one.
Yeah, that only sticks out because the darkness is a legendary card in Hearthstone now. So it's like I always, I don't know why that always just sticks in my head.
So after you do all that, you find out Malice Jade, one of the wardens, is in charge of the Keystone, and she was last seen in Stormheim. So you go to Stormheim, you find out that she's trapped, and you have to go and defeat even more enemies nearby to collect runes so you can free her. When you've done all of that, then you can finally go, and there's a Fail Lord that you have to kill that's nearby, luckily. And she tells you that the Keystone was in the Vaults of the Wardens the whole time. So you've basically been doing this runaround for the Wardens, I guess, just for laughs. Because
just so they can tell you that you need to go and do a fight, man.
Okay. Like you literally was right there in the Vault of the Wardens. I could have just gone instead of doing all of that stuff. Then you have to actually do the Vault of the Wardens
dungeon. And keeping in mind, you don't have flying at this point. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, or at least originally we did.
Well, yeah, back in because that was the first one that I've done. So that was before flying.
All this stuff was on foot. You're hoofing it around, you're sneaking into these caves, you're killing these guys, you're tracking down fell lords, yeah.
But the good thing is that's what made Demon Hunters really nice at the beginning, because the glide, there were so many shortcuts I could take using the glide and you know, Fail Rush and stuff like that. So that was good at least. But yeah. Just got to do the Vaults of the Wardens dungeon, and then you get the Keystone at the end of that.
All right, so we finally do that. We do the five-man. We've been given the runaround. We head back. What happens next?
And then after you've got the Keystone, you didn't have to prepare for the invasion. First, you have to find which Legion world the Fail Souls are at. So you have to do, you know, the series of follower missions. And then you have to, they actually have another quest to to get Obliteratum to make your Warglaze deadlier, they say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, this was the first one that I did, so getting Obliteratum was a really annoying process at the very beginning of the expansion.
Yeah, when it first came out, it was like you had to have all those crafted bracers and like all that stuff, right?
Yeah, so I was able, you know, I was leatherworking, so I was able to do two of them, but you needed, I'm pretty sure you needed plate and cloth as well.
Yeah, you needed like one of each style or each type.
So luckily I had some guildmates that made those for me, but you know, if you didn't have that, then it was rough.
I think even though it wasn't critical to progress, I think I ended up buying them off the auction house.
And then, especially now, it's a lot easier because, I mean, Obliteratum is so much easier to get. And I actually had a bunch of them on one of my characters, so I just sent one over the second time I went through.
Yeah, I think by the time I did it on my alts, they had patched it in now where they gave you that thing that was like, hey, go talk to this guy, and he'll give you the Obliteratum, and you'll go, and you just, it's basically an instant turn-in at that point.
Oh, yeah, I forgot all about that. Yeah, I did that on a few characters, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
And then I think, yeah, the last thing you have to do at that point is you have to collect 15 Sovereign Souls, which are, basically, it's a drop from bosses in Legion Dungeon. So if you play, I think it took me 3 dungeons. Mm-hmm. It kind of depends on
how many bosses there were. Yeah.
Yeah. And the last boss gives you 2, always, but I can't remember if any of the other ones ever gave you more than 2 or more than 1 or not. But
let me ask you this real quick. How do you feel about them kind of weaving the 5 minutes into a lot of the zone and class campaign stuff? Do you think that was cool? That it was kind of forcing you into that, or
I liked it because, well, it does require you to actually do it for like the story and stuff, but I liked it because of the experience that you get, and I think that's why they did that, because you get a lot of experience for mm-hmm. completing those dungeon quests, and it's actually kind of nice compared to like past expansions, because there's no other quests, you know, there's really no reason for you to go like to do dungeon spam. Like a lot of, you know, like in Burning Crusade.
Oh, they lowered the XP a ton. So, yeah.
So, like, you basically you're actually encouraged now to go through the story and pretty much get to the point, at least get to the point where you get the dungeon quest. And then you do the dungeon quest. And then you just keep going back to the leveling. So, I think they actually did a great job this expansion with pacing out the leveling. And actually making you want to do all the quests and then only do the dungeon for the one-time quest.
So, yeah, so you kind of got to see the dungeons at least once while you were going through the story, right?
Yeah, and like in the past, there might have been dungeons that you don't even see, especially now. Now, they're going to have a leveling revamp, but, you know, now you go back into, like, you know, the classic vanilla, you could pass up, like, 3 dungeons from leveling.
Oh, okay. So I've leveled a lot of tunes at this point, but like, I always remember a point where you're hitting like level 68, level 70. And there was a couple of Wrath dungeons where it seemed like you did those same dungeons probably like a dozen times before you moved on to something else.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Was it Utgard Keep or Pinnacle or one of those, you know, where it was just like over and over that and over and over.
Suddenly,
yeah. Yeah,
Daryl,
what did you think about being forced into the dungeons? Because I know some of them actually tied into like professions and stuff too. And I know as a guild, somebody was constantly saying, "Hey, can we go mm-hmm. here? Can we do this? Can we do that?" Like, was that cool to you, or were you kind of like going, "Oh, great, we got to do Halls of Valor again"? Or
it was good the first time around. Like on my main character, my warlock, I didn't mind it at all because I know how to play it well. I know how to do everything well. Like my role is DPS, so I can do that well. But as I leveled a few alts, like my priest, and I haven't completed the story on my priest, but I'm level 110 because
yeah. And at that point, I don't really want to do Valstar or whatever. You know, I don't want to do that.
No, I don't, because I'm not a good priest player. Like I did the invasions, because you could get a level on one invasion.
Oh,
right?
That's right. Yeah.
So I took like 10 invasions and got to level 110 that way. So I don't know how to heal on disc. I don't know how to heal on holy.
No.
And I don't know how to DPS a shadow, so I don't want to subject 4 random people to my bad play.
Yeah.
So I haven't completed the story on the priest. So it was great for my main, but alts, I'm not liking it. I haven't finished the story because of that exact reason.
Okay, then Senzer, you play it. You mentioned you kind of do the alt thing, right? So what does that feel like to you then? Do you feel like, ah, crap, I got to do this again? Or like, I'm not really a good resto druid, and how do I do this? Like, I don't want to spend a 20-minute queue. Do you feel like it was good overall, or do you feel like it kind of got tired? Or?
Well, when it comes to like that's mostly the profession quest. Like, mm-hmm.
Every zone had a point where you had to do the dungeon, right? To finish the zone.
That's what I mean. Like, when you're going through the story, at least, and if you queue up for one of the dungeons, if you have the quest for that dungeon, then it's a really fast queue.
Was it?
Yeah. Like,
oh, I didn't realize that. That's cool.
Especially at the beginning, it was nearly instant if you had the quest.
That's amazing. So if you finished Valshara and it's telling you to go into whatever that is, then what would it like put you in the front of the queue? Or?
Yeah, I don't know exactly, you know, the order, but it's a lot quicker. I do know that.
Even as a DPS. That. Yeah, oh, yeah, that's yeah.
Kind of cool. Actually, I didn't know that either.
So someone who's just queuing up is different than somebody who has a quest and they're kind of feeling like I may or may not want to do this, and you know.
Yeah, now that's only for the actual story. Like, as you're going through the story, it's not just for generic quests. Or,
right. So, you know, story progression.
Yeah.
That's cool. I like that, yeah.
But also, on alts, especially after the invasions came out and then, you know, heirlooms got up, I mean, I pretty much just, you know, I did invasions and I quested until I got to the dungeons. Like, I still played mostly normal, but I didn't go out of my way. Like, if I was 110 before I finished, so I didn't really care because I've already done it. You know, I got the achievement and stuff, so I didn't really care about finishing that
my
alts.
Well, but there was some, if you're a completionist and if you're trying to do like balance of power and some of those quest lines that would give you special appearances or other cosmetic stuff, then you're kind of almost felt obligated, right?
Yeah, I have plenty of people that still have to do the dragon quest line in Azuna before I can even start doing the balance.
Yeah, I've got a couple that every time I log in, it's like, Azuna awaits champion. And you, it's like got the little, you know, the quest there to go down and talk to him and do the bunch of, you know, whatever it was, Emerald Nightmare stuff. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to collect, you know, 30 of those dumb things.
Yeah, it's definitely not a great expansion for people that want to play alts. Unless you just have all the time in the world.
Well, one thing I would give them is in terms of catch-up mechanisms, in terms of removing some of the gating, like the third artifact and some of the stuff like that, I think they have done a really, really good job. Because what, you know, I got the legendary campaign achievement before it was cool. I guess, I don't know, maybe I'm a hipster for that stuff. But before they removed any of the excess requirements, I finished all that up, and then now it's like, oh yeah, all you gotta do is log in and you've got all 3 relic slots open and all that stuff. So I definitely, you know, I've got the kind of get off my lawn approach to that stuff, but I really like how they've kind of tightened the reins on some of that, and they haven't kind of said, no, you need to finish the story before you get this stuff.
Yeah, definitely, it's definitely good in that regard, especially for like since the beginning of the expansion, like warriors, man, it was so bad. I think it was like a day or something. Like it was something just completely long. Like their, you know, the follower missions that they had to do,
all the time gated stuff,
way longer than the other class.
Well, so, I think druids too. They had like an extra. They had an extra set of like maybe mission table stuff, or an extra set of like go collect these or something.
Yeah, druids. Well, if I remember correctly, druids had more missions. I think they had they had a lot more missions.
Table thing, or
but
something.
It was they were like shorter missions though. But the problem with that was if you weren't, you know, on top of doing them, then you might wind up, you know, might wind up taking longer because, you know, once one's done, you have to go and start the next. So it was you know, if you're not there starting them one after another, then it could wind up being longer that way. But
I don't want to get sidebarred too much into this because I feel like there's a whole discussion that could be around playing alts and swapping mains and stuff like that. But are you happy with where the story has landed in terms of how it played out originally? And like, if you were to jump into something now, do you think it's fair?
Yeah, I like the Demon Hunter story is, I don't know if it's my favorite story, but it's definitely up there. Because I just, it felt like, and that's something I like about this expansion in general. It really makes you feel like you're playing that class, like you are a Demon Hunter. And the same thing with the champions that they give you, instead of the however many followers that you had last expansion. Like, you actually feel a connection with your champions. You actually feel like they're important.
Yeah, the followers in Warlords were a lot of times like, hey, go to this random clearing out in this jungle area and fight this guy and you get a follower. But now it's like very much tied to, you know, some sort of backstory or some sort of relevant name or something like that. So
one more thing, basically the end of the Demon Hunter story, well, before the, you know, Broken Shore stuff, basically once you collect everything you have, you find out that they're on Niskara. You collected souls so that you, and you also went collected parts for the Failhammer so it can actually, you know, make jumps these worlds. Otherwise you might wind up, you know, you get there and then you're just stuck. So you do all that and then Kill Jaden himself, well, an image of Kill Jaden, contacts you directly, telling you to join the Legion. And then obviously you have to refuse. And after that is when you go to start the final scenario to go to Niskara to fight Feridus and Caria. Now, this scenario was one of the coolest parts, I think, of the Demon Hunter campaign. Mm-hmm. The very beginning, you're basically controlling the Failhammer and just bombing, like, I think, like 200 ground forces. And then at the end of that, they tell you to go and, you know, glide down to the rendezvous point. And it was pretty cool because you had, it's like you and, I think, four other Demon Hunters, and you just, like, all jump off like at the same time, gliding with those bat wings down to the rendezvous point. After that, you just have to go and you kill some lieutenants, you know, close portals, finally make your way to where the fail souls are at, and they have a barrier up. So you order the fail hammer to go and destroy the barrier, and then you finally can go in there to kill Caria and Feridus fail soul. And you, once you do that, you leave. Jump back to, or get, go to back to the Failhammer and then jump back to Mar Doon, which is where the Failhammer has been stationed the whole time, above where your the Demon Hunter Toria was at.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I think that's about it for that. You get two new champions at the end, and then they give you the official title of Slayer, and that's the end of the main campaign.
So good. I forgot where that title came from until I did it a second time. I was like, oh. That's a really good title. All right, so maybe from that point, then 7.3 comes out and it jumps into the Broken Shore story and a little bit more of the Demon Hunter stuff and the class mount. Was there anything between that time, or do you want to jump into that?
Nothing in between there. But yeah, the you know, the Broken Shore quest where you get your, you know, everybody gets a new follower. It's actually kind of cool. You get a message saying things are not quiet anymore on Mar Doom. So you actually go down there and you find out that there was a Naga called Lady Sitheno or something. Went to investigate. So you go down there yourself. You have to go and find her, free some people, and can't remember the last thing. You had to probably destroy portals or something. But one thing, another thing from the Illidan novel, you'll notice when you first land there, you actually see Vandal, and he was an important character in the Illidan novel. He was the guy that he saw his son get killed by Failhound, and he winds up killing him with like his hunting knife. And then Illidan finds him and was impressed, you know, tells him to come and see him, and he basically becomes one of important Demon Hunters. But the reason why this was cool, at least in the book, was you got to see the transformation. Like, you got to see the whole process through his eyes on what Demon Hunters do to, you know, become Demon Hunter. So I thought that was kind of cool that they had him, you know, as a NPC there. But yeah, back to the actual mission itself. Find Lady Sitheno, close the portals, and then you just have to repel the invaders. Or, well, you go back to the Failhammer, and then you find out that there was invaders, that they invaded the Failhammer while you were gone, and you have to go and get rid of them. And that's the, you know, the first part of that, the new campaign. And then the last part is going to the Broken Shore with Lady Sitheno. Now, this follower has a lot of hilarious dialogue and is always he's always picking on somebody. I think it was Corvus, one of your, you know, followers. Like one of the missions is actually to go and kill a Fail Lord just because he's been like screaming for hours. And it's, you know, it's giving her a headache. So she's like, go and kill this guy because I just don't want to hear.
That's awesome.
And she talks so much trash. It's unreal. Like, she's one of those ones where like, I want you, you know how you can toggle them between off and on kind of.
Yeah.
I just want to turn it off because she's just so, every time she shows up, it's just like, what do you mean? Blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh God, lady, stop.
Yeah.
I suppose I have time to, I'm like, oh, okay. What, were you doing something else?
Yeah, and you hear that from other people too. So anytime anybody's using that follower and they show up, then you just hear her talking.
Yeah, basically any of the 7.3 additional followers. I guess any follower at this point, but they all kind of have those catchphrases where, like, it's a bit of a cheese grater on your nerves after a while. But yeah, like hers, man, she's just like, she's acting like she's like doing you some huge favor, like you interrupted her soap operas to come and help you out. Really.
Yeah, that's I believe that's it. Oh yeah, the quest, besides killing the Fail Lord that she didn't want to listen to, you have to go and get stuff to repair the Failhammer because of the, you know, invasion. But that's basically it for the Broken Shore quest before, you know, you get your mount quest.
Yeah, why don't you talk about the mount quest? Because I think that, I don't know, they're all kind of cool in their own right, but I don't know, maybe I'm partial because this is what I'm leaning towards right now, but like, I really liked this one.
Yeah, some of them, I mean, I haven't done all of them, but some of them, most of them that I've done are really cool. This one in particular as well, because I like it because it lets you, again, feel like a demon hunter, and you actually get to do stuff. Like,
yeah,
like one of the things you have to do is use your spectral sight. Like, so basically, there's a fail bat flying around, and you need to attack it and subdue it. So you start off, I think you jump on it while it's flying around, and you're like attacking it, and then you have to use your demon sight afterwards to track it down. And you just, it's basically that the whole time. You attack it, then use your demon sight to actually track where it's at until you finally go and subdue it at the
It's one of those, it reminds me a little bit of the warrior one, where it's like kind of this cool moment at the very end where you kind of gotta just go and like just slap the crap out of it till it just like obeys you, kind of. Like, establish dominance, I guess, at the very end.
Yeah, pretty much. You just, like, you beat it into submission, basically.
Yeah, that one and the warrior one were totally, like, you just had to, like, kind of, like, be the boss and establish dominance.
And then another cool thing is, I didn't even notice it the first time, but once you complete this, you actually can buy a toy back at your class hall that gives you Pepe.
The little demon hunter Pepe,
with like horns, blindfold, and warglaive and everything. You can have him on your head. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, there's a couple of raiders that are like super into Pepe on our team, and like I would pop that out, and it's just like this little demon hunter Pepe. Like, it's super funny. He's sitting up there with his glaives, just chilling on your head.
Yep.
All right, so we have got the new class mount. We've done all the things. We've gotten through 7.3. Now, this is a question that we quit asking because it seemed like it really wasn't relevant, but do you think there was anything Illidan specific besides you being able to kind of like do a little Skype session with him at the beginning? Was there anything else that kind of popped up that was like, you know, after he had handed off the Illidari to you, was there anything cool, or did it just kind of move on from there?
I don't think there was anything else, like not Demon Hunter specific. Like in the story, you never see him again because he's like, you can't contact him.
he's like, don't call me again, and hangs up. You're like, okay.
And I didn't notice any, you know, I could have missed it, but I didn't notice any specific dialogue, you know, like in Nighthold when you free him, uh-huh. or just, you know, at any point. I'd have to go back and check, but I didn't, it wasn't very noticeable if it was. Now, I haven't beaten Antares on my Demon Hunter, so I don't know if there might be something, you know, extra for that, because there's a, you know, there's an extra quest at the end. So I don't know.
I haven't yet either, but I would say that the way that Tomb left off and moving into Antares, I don't know. Like, how much Illidan do we see now?
A lot of Illidan.
Gosh, man. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I feel like throughout Antares, he hasn't quite... I mean, he's shown up here and there, but it's like leaning more towards Velen now, right?
Yeah. Well, in terms of what he's actually doing, he's not... Yeah, he hasn't really done...
Like, his beef was with Kil'jaeden, right?
Well, Sargeras, well, yeah, Kil'jaeden, but, you know, the overall Sargeras, is what he's been,
tracking,
working
yeah.
towards.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Kil'jaeden was basically, like, he was the person, like, he was fighting against, and kind of the one that he was, porting to, I guess, during the Burning Crusade era, but in terms of his actual mission, it was just to get rid of Legion, you know, completely. And that would
okay,
be
yeah, Sargeras.
But yeah, you don't really see him. I mean, he's there, but he's not. It is, you know, about the Prophet pretty much through most of Argus' quest line.
So this is a really good, because you mentioned earlier about how much you played some of the other classes. What would you say, like, makes the Demon Hunter story awesome and kind of sets it apart and makes it worth, even if you're not going to, like, raid on it or anything like that, what makes it worth checking out?
Really, I would say just the experience of seeing what the Demon Hunters do, other than just hearing how much that they've sacrificed everything every time you walk past.
Oh, what hunter. Have you given, right? Like,
so I think it's really cool for people that want to know more of that story, and also because you have to play the tutorial, so you just get the whole picture of the Demon Hunters and, you know, why they're doing what they're doing now. And so, yeah, that's probably, I'd say that's the best thing, and that kind of sets it apart, is just seeing how Demon Hunters went through and getting that feel of, you know, basically being one of Illidan's disciples.
I'm not going to lie, and this has come up earlier, and I think I saw a comic on Twitter a while back, but, like, I always thought it was funny that, like, every single time you come up to a Demon Hunter and they start yelling at you, except for when you're on your death knight and you walk up. And they go, I've sacrificed everything. What have you given? And you're sitting there on your death knight going, really? Dude, what have I given?
Well,
really, man?
I've seen that a lot. And it's,
I'm actually dead, okay?
It's kind of funny because, you know, I see that a lot. And it's, you know, it's a very popular joke to make. But, I mean, when you really think about it, death knights haven't given anything. Like, well, they haven't sacrificed. Because sacrifice means that they actually chose
willingly,
to do it.
Yeah.
Like, Death Knights, now, Death Knights have a bad deal. There's no doubt about that. But they don't have a choice of who they are. Like, they didn't choose to give up their life. Whereas Demon Hunters actually choose to go through all of that excruciating pain and that whole process of, like, devouring a demon heart, basically seeing the Legion and all this terrible stuff.
Facing their worst fears, yeah.
Tearing out their eyes and all that stuff. So, like, they chose to actually go through that torment, whereas Death Knights, they're dead, and they brought back to life against their will, but they still, you know, it's not technically a sacrifice.
Oh, that's a good point.
Like Fair that. Enough. So what do you think they could have done better with the Demon Hunter story?
I would say more Illidan, but there's still a lot of Illidan.
Well, maybe more specific.
Yeah, I'd say more specific,
like, yeah,
Illidan stuff. Or at least, even if it's not directly in the Demon Hunter campaign, more, a little bit of extra stuff when you talk to him throughout the expansion would have been a little nice.
Well, because like I was saying earlier, that was really cool, that moment where you got to actually talk to him. And he was like, no, you're the, all this crazy stuff's going on. I can't talk now. This is here. Like, man, I need you to hold down the fort. In fact, you're my main person, right? You're in charge now. If there would have been any sort of like even one other scenario or one other follow up where he would have checked in and been like, hey, how's it going? I need you to do this or, you know, make sure you're doing this thing for me. Like, I think that may have kind of solidified that campaign a little bit, would you say?
Yeah, it probably would have been my favorite. I think it's still up there. And again, could be a little biased. It was like my first campaign, and I just like Demon Hunters and Illidan. But like, yeah, like you said, that moment was really cool, actually getting to, you know, talk to Illidan. And like, this is something only your class can do. Like, Illidan's not going to acknowledge really other classes. I mean, you can kind of tell that just from like the dialogue that he has from like Broken Shore, like World Quest. Like, he calls Marius, I think it's Marius, or I can't remember which one is which, but he calls those two people, like, he calls the other one his pet warlock. So like, you know, he doesn't really,
that's amazing,
doesn't really respect really anybody else but, you know, the demon hunters that he trained. So yeah, that moment was really cool. One, I think another moment at the end of the campaign, maybe, or something, or even at the end of Antares. I don't know. Again, I don't know if there's anything special, but that would just have been really cool to see something else, to have Illidan acknowledge you.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think that's I totally agree with you there. Could have had another, maybe like little specific Illidan piece that tied into the Demon Hunter campaign. That would have been awesome. Well, Daryl, did that sum it up for you? Do you feel like there's anything you were missing there?
No, I don't think so. That was really good. I definitely want to play through the Demon Hunter. Now, I said that, I think, about all these class shows that we've done. Like, I want to experience this now, right?
I'm like, sit here all, oh, yeah, you do.
And now that you've even mentioned the Black Temple stuff, it's like, man, I need to delete the one I have just so I can start right from scratch.
You know what? That starting zone, like, I've done it several times now, but it is so cool because it does not start where you're at right now. It starts, like, leading up to...
Yeah, like, I didn't realize it was that far back in the past. Like, I even did it at BlizzCon when they announced the Demon Hunters. Like, I went in and did the demo.
Yeah, we had no idea what was going on there, though.
Right, so... But yeah, I might have to do that for a third time here and just start over if I ever get time, eventually.
Well, awesome. Well, Censor, was there anything else about the Demon Hunter story or campaign or any of that stuff that you felt like maybe we missed out on?
I don't think so. Other than, well, nothing story specific, but I would have to say Demon Hunter, Havoc Demon Hunter, Mage Tower appearance is probably one of my favorite appearances.
You had to say that. That's the one. I have
just
not
got it like last week.
I know. I'm waiting. I was halfway waiting until I get my four piece from Antares because it really lines up with kind of the way you're supposed to do things. But I don't know, man. There's a part of it that's like, if you screw up at all, it's like you might as well start over. And that's what I keep running into.
Yeah, the images is what I had the most trouble with. Like, when he teleports away, like, if you don't see him, like, immediately, then you're going to die within seconds.
I burned Metamorphosis. I've done all sorts of dumb stuff just, like, because I screwed up and I couldn't get over there in time. And, yeah, that is one thing that I really, really, really need to get before the end of this expansion, because that hidden appearance is amazing, and I really want that.
Because I've actually done that, because Arms Warriors also has that, and I was just surprised at how, like, it was actually easier on my Arms Warrior, because at the beginning for my Demon Hunter, for some reason, I just had trouble staying alive. Like, I had no trouble at all staying alive on my Warrior, but Demon Hunter, I had to switch to the, like, the preferred, you know, talents, but that lowered my DPS, so it made, trying to, you know, hit the DPS checks a lot harder. But yeah, it was rough, but I finally did it.
I want to say, and I may be wrong, but I want to say that, like, the Havoc DPS one is probably one of the most, like, or one of the least forgiving ones, right? Because if you mess up at all, you're dead. If you mess up at that images area, you're dead. If you don't burn the ads quick enough, you're dead. Like, and the other ones are hard, and they all have their, you know, the kind of their merits and their obstacles. But, like, the Havoc one, man. That one area where he goes into the little phase where he disappears and teleports around. Like, if you're not in the right place at the right time, you're just dead. You can't use a cooldown. You can't do anything. You're just dead.
Yeah, I've died. And what sucks so much about that part is, again, my damage was lower because I had to change my talents. I didn't realize that that phase could happen more than once. So I was so happy to get through it one time. And I was, you know, fighting him. And then all of a sudden he teleports again. I'm like, I was not even close to being ready for this.
Well, and there's all sorts of, I could get into the nuances of trying to use the legendary shoulders to lower the cooldown to meta, but that only works when you're attacking, and a lot of the time is spent kind of navigating some of the terrain and stuff, so it's like, it's just really frustrating, but I definitely want to get that one.
Yeah, I definitely made it, like, I made a list of, like, the Mage Tower appearances I wanted, because you're not going to be able to get them once the next expansion comes out. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know when that'll be, but I want to make sure I'm getting them at least prepared to be able to complete that. The top of the list right now for me is the Guardian Druid, the Tank Druid.
That one looks cool. Tank just got that. Yeah, it's the Never Skip Leg Day Tank. Yeah, I love that one. The Werebear one is so good. But I think until I get the Havoc one, that's going to be my main, because those glaives just look so good.
Yeah, and I like the alternate colors, too. I just want to know, I'm going to assume so, but I wonder, do you have to get the alternate colors as well before, the next expansion?
Oh, that's a good question. Like, I'll have to go on and look and see what they're tied to. Some of them are, like, great achievements and stuff, right?
One of them is, it's dungeon, PvP, and raid. So one of them is heroic Kill Jaden. One of them is just complete 10 Legion dungeons. That's the easiest one. 10 different Legion dungeons. And then the last one is one that I probably won't do on anybody. Win 10 rated Battleground.
Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah, I think Havoc is probably a pretty good spec for PvP right now, but I'm just not interested in that. So. Well, all right. If you haven't already, make sure you come and join the official Training Dummies Discord server over at discord.me/TTD. It is the best way to keep in touch and get real-time interaction with us and our community, as well as keeping in touch with the awesome guests that you've heard here on the show. That's discord.me/TTD. And here's a bonus. If you like what we're doing and you want to help keep the content flowing, please check out our brand new Patreon, and that's over at patreon.com/trainingdummies. There are no obligations at all. This is brand new, just set up. Like I said, no obligations, just good times.
I'm hitting the button.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
Man, my soundboard just doesn't like that bumper, I guess.
Hit it.
Rob, what do you got for shout-outs?
I think you need a new keyboard. But tonight's shout-outs go to Sensor. Thank you so much, because I absolutely, completely, randomly reached out to you. and you replied, and thank you so much, because this has been a wonderful episode. And this does wrap up our Stay Classy series, where we have covered every single class in Legion and all of the campaigns and stories behind them. So, Scissor, thank you very much. Thank you, Daryl, for being my bro host during all this. Thank you, Jab and Justin, for helping support all of this little crazy stuff that we're doing in the background. And thank you to Gondel and Ron, Conrad and Ron, to being our main tanks this expansion and holding it down. You guys are doing a killer job. Daryl, what do you got?
The raid team, we did last week, we got two new bosses down and we did one pull. I know it was after our usual end time, but we did one pull on the last boss there. And what did we get? Like 20%, I think, something like that. 20 or 25.
We have it. We've just not ever. It was like, for some of us, it was like 1-2 in the morning and we hadn't seen it before.
So it was the first time we ever did a pull on that boss and we did really good on it, so we'll get it this week for sure. So a big shout out to the raid team there, and Sinzer, thank you for coming on and talking Demon Hunters with us. Really appreciate that. And do you have any shout outs this evening?
No, but I just want to thank you guys for letting me come on, because I've never done a podcast, so it was really fun being able to talk about something that I spend so much of my time on.
You know, we kind of have this creative outlet, and it's really fun that we spend so much time in game and doing all this stuff, but then we get to turn around and kind of process it and talk about, you know, the ins and outs and the, you know, the mechanics of it and how to get better. And in this case, the story and the lore behind it. So it's very cool that you took your time. I know you've got a little one and you're a raider and you decided to come and hang out with us. So that really means a lot to us.
Oh, it was fun.
Well, before we wrap this up, Sensor, where can people reach you or find you if they have any other questions about the game or the story or the writing or anything else like that?
The best way would be Twitter, at Sensor, S-Y-N-Z-E-R, and I will reply back to you as soon as I can.
I can confirm that.
All right. Well, that wraps up episode 193. We're getting close to 200. Getting close, of the Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we are all just jackasses with mics. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust.
Woo-woo!
From people you shouldn't.
Woo-woo!
So forget what I said before. Now is when things are getting weird.
Woo-woo! Oh, a fan, huh? Oh, well, who can blame you?
Thanks for all the love and support
at patreon.com/trainingdummies.
Perhaps you require more training,
dummies.
Uther,
I'm not dignifying that with a response.
Look, there's a little note.
patreon.com/trainingdummies
has not been evaluated by the FDA. Please do not operate large machinery or mythical creatures after healing. Side effects may include nausea, dimensional displacement, stomach irritation, and sentient discharges. Always consult a doctor before using
patreon.com/trainingdummies.
Was that not enough jokes? Were you not entertained?